Item number five is a rezoning for southwest corner of McGilvery Boulevard and Dunkley Street under file DZ211 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing. The following item will be heard at the same time. Item six is a variance at southwest corner of McGilvery Boulevard and Dunkley Street under file DAB 132871 of 2011D. Councillor Fielding?
Okay, great. Now, I think I know we've got a lot of people here, so probably we'll hear from the applicant, and then maybe at that point we might take just a short recess, bio break, or coffee or whatever, and then we'll probably reconvene if that works for a bio break, which politically correct term these days is not. So if I could have you present your name and address for the record.
You know, we have a PowerPoint.
So I understand from our clerks that I guess that might be actually the people that are in opposition. There's a group that's putting together.
Yes.
Okay. And you're going together, so just if I could get you to state your names and addresses for the record. You guys are all going together, I'm assuming. Jeff and Robin and Matthew and Eric. I haven't seen Eric here. But
yeah, I think Jeff and Eric are separate.
Bob Bowman.
Yeah. Well, I'm Robin Lee, 1540 Taylor Avenue.
Well, I think you got to speak into the big mic there, Matthew.
Matthew Narvey, 1420 Taylor.
Okay. And you said Jeff and Eric aren't here, but they're...
I think they're on their own.
Okay.
I think they're on their own, yeah.
Right, okay. Who else is me?
UKT.
Oh, are they? Oh, all this 1480. Oh, God bless. Thank you. I don't want to spill. Six minutes left. Just kidding. Okay, just before we get started here, while you're fighting your system up here, I know there's a group in opposition of the application, and I think they've arranged themselves into four or five presenters or what have you. So we're giving them a block amount of time to go ahead with it. Above and beyond, we normally give about 10 minutes each presenter, but I understand the group will have, they've got a presentation which is less than that. So my point to you is we are going to give you as much time as you need as the people from the other.
Sure, and I don't think mine's that long.
15
minutes, 20 max. 15, I think.
Guys got to move over to Mac. It's much faster.
I'm still paper and pen. Well, thank you for your patience while we work out our technical glitches. Again, my name is Robin Lee. I'm with Precon Builders, the applicant for this proposal. And next page. This is a site photo. You can see the site that we're referring to. It's the sort of outlined in dark black there at the bottom of the photo there. So I'd just like to start off by saying that City Council has recently adopted Winnipeg's new blueprint and strategic vision for the city called Complete Communities. And I'm just going to make a couple of quotes from this new strategic vision. Council defines complete communities as places that both offer and support a variety of lifestyle choices, providing opportunities for people of all ages and abilities to live, work, shop, learn, and play in close proximity to each other. A main focus of this vision is to promote a variety of different housing types, from apartments, single-family houses, to townhouses, as your housing needs change without leaving the neighborhood where you feel familiar and where you have built social networks. I feel our proposal fits this vision perfectly. We are proposing a mid-rise building with access only from a major corridor, so the only access is coming from McGillivray, located across the street from a major retail center. This is an upscale multifamily building. Suites all have granite countertops, stainless steel appliances, in-suite laundry, and underground parking. So it's a first-class, high-end development. Now that we have clearly established our proposal meets the vision of City Council's blueprint for development, the next step is to ensure we adhere to the rules outlined in the city's zoning bylaw. This document further defines what can and cannot be developed and how development can occur without having negative consequences for adjacent properties. Our proposal meets or exceeds every zoning requirement defined by the city. We are permitted, or we would be permitted, to build 139 units on this site. We are only asking for 92. An acceptable roof height would be 60 feet. We ask for 57 feet. Setbacks to neighboring properties is 25 feet. We opened up with a 37-foot setback, which is nearly 50% further than the bylaw states. We did ask for a couple of zoning variances so that we could bend a couple of the city's rules, but only so we could keep our building further away from residents, which the city accepts and I think only makes sense. So our original application is for 92 suites, a building height of 57 feet, and setbacks to the neighboring properties to the south of 37 feet. Prior to making our application, we contemplated several options, including commercial development. We thought this site is better suited to multi-residential because it will have less impact on existing residences to our south. Commercial properties have bright neon signage, semi-trailer truck traffic at all hours of the day, as stores get restocked when stores are closed normally, higher traffic counts, intensified garbage pickup, and reduced landscaping. This site configuration would require the stores to actually face east, and residents would have had full views to the storefronts. I recently rezoned a site in Riel Community last month from commercial to multi-family residential, and the councillors viewed my application as a down zoning. So that's a quote from the city councillors, a down zoning from commercial to multi-family. A much less intensive land use and far better for surrounding residents. And this is a picture of the original building elevations that we showed the community at our public hearings. We've had two meetings with residents. To summarize the administration report, we obtained a favorable planning report from the city for our application. The city finds the proposed development is compatible with existing neighborhood uses. The proposed site plan is consistent with our Winnipeg policies that encourage infill development and intensification of residential land uses along major corridors. Again, before we did undertake our planning, we did a lot of thought and research because we know that, you know, we've done this a few times and we know that there are, you know, concerns that come up and we try our best to mitigate them.
Robin, just so we're clear when looking at this, what you're saying, this is what you originally proposed.
This is our original application. I'm only speaking to our original application,
right.
Which is in the planning report. We undertook extensive research prior to presenting our plans to the community. We studied other local area developments, including the Kegsland site in Linden Ridge, the Stonecrest and Greystone developments in Linden Woods, to see what has already been built and approved in the area. The Kegsland development applied for a seven-story building and received a considerable amount of opposition. It's located in Linden Ridge, at Dovercourt and Falcon Ridge. They originally proposed 186 units with a seven-story height and a 25-foot setback. We reviewed in detail the resident concerns and objections to the proposed seven-story multifamily development so that we could proactively address any potential issues that might come about with our application. And we actually printed off the public reports and printed every objection and actually logged them to get a count of what the potential issues, you know, we could face. To summarize, the main issues with the Keg seven-story development was traffic and parking, adverse effect to amenities, use, safety, and conveniences, scale does not comply with surrounding area as it's over four stories, density and population, and property value.
So now you're talking about the Kegland, the adjacent proposal.
Okay. That's right. We're just trying to provide a kind of a top-down, you know, as we drill into to our location. Traffic, the Kegsland development accesses via residential streets. Stonecrest and Greystone access via residential streets, Lindenwood Drive and Fairhaven. The Ridge, as we call our site, has no access to existing residential streets. It's only off McGilvery. Parking, the Kegsland has overflow parking concerns as there's already a busy restaurant on site. Stonecrest and Greystone have overflow parking concerns as cars are parking on Fairhaven. The Ridge, we have sufficient parking, a majority of which is indoors. And again, our vehicles only access from McGilvery. As far as adverse effect on to amenities, use, safety, and conveniences, we don't feel we're providing any negative impact on amenities and conveniences, which we define as parks, green space, community spaces. They are not impacted. We really feel that our site is an opportunity for residents to downsize from the houses and stay in the neighborhood. There are no high-end apartment blocks for miles around, and we have a near 0% vacancy rate. We are not using any of their streets or sidewalks, and we actually hoped to enhance the area as proposing to build a playground on our site. Use, again, compared to commercial, we are not increasing noise or light pollution. Our lighting is not permitted to shine directly into our neighbors' yards. The city planners will make sure of that our any vehicle traffic or any site lighting is shielded to not provide any negative impact to residents. With respect to privacy, we are not putting any balconies facing the yards to our south, unlike all the other previously mentioned approved developments in the area. Safety, we feel we are safer as we have higher-end homes in this development. And that's a crime deterrent, having people live on site, much better than the current vacant situation or a commercial use where you'd get graffiti, litter on the vacant land. Of course, we have dumping and whatnot now. Just as an aside, for any rentals before anyone is allowed to rent an apartment through this company. Credit and criminal checks for new tenants are mandatory. And again, there's no access to neighboring properties. With respect to scale, you know, we've studied the setbacks and building setbacks of other commercial and multifamily developments in the area. Cinema City, the back of their building is about 38 feet from the back property line. The Kegs land got approved for 25-foot setbacks to the residential. The Ridge, our application, we initially proposed 37 feet. Building heights, Cinema City is a commercial building. It's about 35 feet tall. The Kegs land got approved at 50 feet. Greystone and Stonecrest are four-story buildings, plus minus 55 feet tall. Our original building height we submitted at 57 feet.
So just for clarification, because you've kind of gone through what was submitted. Those are the current numbers in ERDOT. Like they look, this is the original? Or
these are originals. These are still originals. I'm getting
to
the revised.
These are what you originally put? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I just wanted to let you know I did my homework on the original.
Okay.
This is just a photo of Cinema City. Just wanted to point out that it has a 38-foot setback to rear properties. The backyards of the homes back there are, I'm guessing, 20 to 30 feet. They're pretty shallow. Basically, these houses are approximately 60 to 70 feet building to building. Stonecrest added a two-story, I guess a townhome, before they put their four-story building in with only a 25-foot setback with balconies facing residents directly in their yard. As far as density and population goes, basically the Kegland development added a lot of density to Linden Ridge, adding a very high percentage of increase in population. Whereas our density and population increases are pretty much minimal. We're only adding probably 2%, 2.4% increase in population to the White Ridge area. I just wanted to point that out as far as having any negative effect on community spaces and community centers, et cetera. So there's our comparison. So property values, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm a builder. I'm not a real estate expert. So, but what I did is I went online, I went to the City of Winnipeg website and just looked at tax assessments. And I really feel that a hypothetical decrease or increase in property value is difficult to determine. But when I went on the City of Winnipeg's website, I found a bunch of information. So this slide shows the property tax assessments for 2012 for surrounding residents to our site. This is an aerial plan of the houses on Skirfield and Breckenridge that we feel are, you know, have a view, are closest to our proposed development. We found that the houses on Skirfield have an average assessed value of $401,000. The houses on Breckenridge have an average assessed value of $407,000. So then we also reviewed the statistics in Linden Woods, again, based on the 2012 assessments, in order to determine if we could find any effect on property values when a similar development took place immediately behind single-family homes. So we have two groupings shown on this plan. The top group is located behind a four-story multifamily development. The bottom grouping is located behind the townhomes that we showed on a previous slide. Both groupings of homes were built prior to the multifamily and townhouses. The top grouping, which backs onto the four-story development, did not experience a drop in value whatsoever. The property values are virtually identical between those two groups. And then that's just some detailed information on a couple of the homes. So it's all online on the City of Winnipeg website.
Could you hang on, go back to that slide for a second?
I didn't know you had all this information online, so It was pretty interesting. So I had some more fun and dug a little deeper.
I got a question for you, though.
Yeah.
How does that play into the assessment? Assessment goes up, you know, on a yearly basis. You're saying, like, if you go back to the other slide, right, you're comparing.
I'm just comparing that, you know, like, I'm looking at these home values.
Yeah.
You know, these home values are quite high.
Yeah.
And they have multifamily developments behind them. I'm looking at the homes that we're proposing to build in close proximity to, the values are pretty similar.
Yeah. Okay.
And we haven't seen a decrease in the value between the 2008 assessments or whatever the last time there was an assessment. So values are still going up with, you know, these types of developments being next door, sort of what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
So my final example is in White Ridge. We looked at the three groupings of homes located behind Cinema City. So the top group backs onto a shopping center that includes the Cinema City and the soon-to-be 24-hour Shoppers Drug Mart and proposed restaurant with access from McGilvery and Columbia. All three groupings of homes were built prior to the Cineplex development, and all three groupings have the exact same, kind of within a percent or two, property values according to the City of Winnipeg assessment. So even if you're, you know, four rows of houses away, you know, your house being equal, it's still got the same value. And so that's why I'm trying to show that houses against either commercial or multifamily, you know, don't necessarily get devalued.
But what you're saying is those houses are valued around the same, no matter if you're row one, two,
that's
or
right.
three. How does that compare versus their last assessment? Did you do that? Because it'd be interesting to see.
That's
what
right.
Because the valuation of homes have gone up by, what, 68% on annual, on biannual basis.
And they're still going up. Okay. They're still going up. So that's just information I found. I build buildings. Like, I'm not a tax and real estate person. I just did my own research, so hopefully it's okay. I wanted to just talk about building views quickly. When we did have a couple of conversations with the planners and whatnot, you know, we have to make sure that we're not blocking any sun or causing shadows to existing residences. Our building is located on the north side of existing residents, so any issues with the sun should be minimal. And we are in compliance with the city's what I call the 45-degree rule, as far as setting that 45-degree plane and making sure we have a clear view of the vista. It is important to point out again that we did not place any balconies within, say, 300 feet of existing residents. So anyone facing, you know, our south end of our building, which is facing some residents, we don't have balconies there. We have balconies facing east and west. Facing east, you would catch the residents on Scurfield Road. That's over 300 feet away to the closest house. That's like a football field away. And again, we've seen the balconies on Stonecrest, Greystone, and Kegsland that have been approved much closer. Now I get to community consultation, and I just want to let you guys know that on, I believe it was October 3rd, we'd previously invited 29 households to attend a public consultation. Those are the homes that we thought had would have a view of this property, a view of this building. I saw a really long list of people in opposition to this proposal, and I just have to say that 95% of the people who signed to oppose this application will never see this building from their property. You know, if you're getting a petition five or six blocks away, I don't understand the relevance and the productivity in that. On October 3rd, we hosted our public open house at Kubota Center. Unfortunately, this meeting was unproductive and a bit hostile. No constructive
feedback.
Just ask,
you know, for the crowd's sake, I appreciate there's opposition, but, you know, please let the presentation go forward, and then they'll be able to hear your side as well. So.
Unfortunately, No constructive feedback was provided by residents, typically just insults directed at myself personally. Unfortunately, we did not get a chance to explain ourselves. It was the first time I've been in sort of a public consultation that just kind of blew up. The next day, I did request to adjourn our originally scheduled hearing date of October 12th to November 8th so that we could hopefully have the opportunity to meet again with area residents. And we were able to have that second meeting with help from Pat DeJong, a local resident, that we touched base and were able to, you know, have some meaningful conversation and arrange a meeting at my office mid-October. And at that time, you know, the residents were able to articulate to me their concerns, A being building height, B being community vision, whereas they had envisioned, say, a commercial or three-story or single-family housing at that location. Along with that, the residents have a website. And so we've been looking at it. And, you know, there are a lot of similarities, again, between the concerns on this website as there were on that keg development that I'd spoken about previously. So, again, issues with height, setback, privacy, obstruction, traffic, strain on our community centers and schools, decreased property value. So that's why I was rambling on and really trying to deal with and at least have an answer to each one of these concerns. So based upon input that we had in the community and discussions I had with Pat, we did come forward and we're coming forward with some revisions to our plans. So based on feedback provided by residents, we are willing to make some further improvements to our already positive plans as determined by the city. We can reduce our building height from 57 feet to 50 feet, and we can also move the building another 10 feet further away from the south property line. So instead of having a 37-foot setback to the property line, we can now be at 47 feet. That's almost twice as far as the bylaw requires. I just want to note again that the residents there have very deep backyards. Our building would be at least 130 feet away from the closest house, so building to building. In comparison, Greystone is about 100 feet building to building. Cinema City is about 70 feet building to building, and Kegsland is 50 feet to people's homes.
I'm sorry, what is it, building to building?
Building to building on our site is about 130 to the closest on Breckenridge. Greystone is about 100 feet. I measured it with a tape measure myself, so it's within a foot or two. Cinema City is 70 feet. That's assuming a 30-foot backyard, which I did not go into people's backyards. Kegsland is 50 feet, building to building. We can also improve our proposed landscape buffer by adding a berm and several 12 to 14-foot high coniferous trees. We will need to eliminate the playground we propose to accommodate this change. The playground was contemplated to add amenity space in the area that would also benefit future development to the east of us. So here's just a chart showing the, I would say, the significant changes that we can bring about from our existing or our original application. Our original setback was 37 feet to the south property line. We can move it to 47 feet. We can reduce our height from 57 feet to 50 feet. Again, we have no traffic impact. We have no parking impact. We have no balconies facing neighbors. We've added a large landscape berm and a huge amount of trees that will offer an immediate buffer because they will be planted at that minimum 12-foot height. So here's a new site plan that overall site plan that shows our berm and extensive landscaping at the back of the south. And we also added a bunch of trees to the east of our property.
How big is the berm?
The berm is huge. I have some berm details actually on that coming up. So here's the next slide that shows a bit of a bigger blow up of the berm area. So The berm itself will be 5 feet high at its middle. So it's a huge berm that will be about, 50 feet wide, almost the whole width of that setback. It has to, berm up to be at a gentle slope. And then we're proposing to put the majority of the trees on the top of the berm so we can get those trees as high as possible to start with. The next slide is a sort of a cross-section of that berm and those trees. So right now we're showing that those trees would cover the a good chunk of the windows on the second floor. We want to, I need to get the landscape architect in to make sure I put the same trees in that they put in at Cinema City, because those trees now at Cinema City are well over 25, maybe 30 feet high. So we know we've got a really good opportunity here to get some really big high trees in the area there. And that's a new view that we've done that takes into account our berms and our extra trees. I think it's a very nice building, nice lot of trees. Now I guess I'm wrapping up probably 2 minutes here. I just wanted to do a comparison chart, just comparing our proposal to the other already approved and built multifamily developments in the area. As you can see, our yellow chart on the right side is what we're proposing now with our minimal population increase, our large setback, our height of 4 stories, 50 feet, that is completely compatible with the other approved sites in the area. Again, our parking traffic impact being none. The balconies not facing neighbors, whereas Stonecrest, Greystone, and the Keg all have balconies facing neighbors within 25 feet. Our large landscape berm and our quantifiable amount of trees. So in closing, we have demonstrated that the building is compatible with the area. Heights, setbacks, privacy, and visual obstruction have all been considered and mitigated. Traffic is not an issue. There is no strain on community centers and schools, as we are only adding a small increase in population to the area. Most people living at our building will be seniors. Property values, as far as I can see in my research, have not decreased in Linden Woods or White Ridge, where multifamily and commercial development abut single-family housing. The city views RMF zoning to be less intensive land use than commercial. We received a positive planning report prior to making the improvements we've already offered here tonight. The closest house is 130 feet away from our building. I really think this is a good example of the city's vision for infill development based upon the city's own guidelines, which I've been following. Thank you very much.
Were you speaking too as well, Matthew? No. So Robin, you're doing the whole kit and caboodle here?
Yeah, unless I stumble and fall or faint.
Is there some questions from either the council or
I've never
been
in front of as many people before.
I have a few pages. Hold on. Okay. To me, this is a great project. Tell me why we have 576 names listed and 50 people here in opposition.
Well, I don't know.
And they're still coming in the door.
I know.
So,
I've done a lot of these developments before, and I am steadfast in the belief of having public consultation, prior to even showing up. And I thought I did a good job of that. I mean, I went personally door to door to the homes, delivered packages of the homes that I thought would have a view of this building. So I counted 29, and that includes the three or four houses on Sigma and Dunkley already. So that's how I start. People were upset at our initial public hearing at Kubota, And so...
Yes, I heard how that went.
So immediately, I went and canceled everything. I put everything off, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there was no way I was coming into a hearing a week after that to put up with all this. I thought, you know what, by having a chance to speak productively with people, offer some ideas, suggestions, hear from them, I just thought it would be a much better process. And, well, they haven't spoken yet, but I'm hoping that, you know, at least we're having a dialogue. And it's a positive step forward.
Okay. Can as I far just as, ask you a
well, I didn't answer your question yet.
Sorry. Well, you said you went door to door. Did you just deliver flyers, or did you go door to door and explain what you were doing and offer an opportunity for input?
Yes,
that's
I did.
That's what's missing here, I think.
I did. You know what? I don't have a copy. I should have brought a copy of the letter that I actually provided. And I knock on the doors. Mm-hmm. And I actually spoke to some people. There was even a fellow on Skirfield. I sat on his deck with him. I spoke to a person on Breckenridge, you know, wasn't home, but his father-in-law was fixing his front steps. So, you know, I do that. And on that initial letter that I provide, I invite them to call me. Here's my email. Here's the planner's name and number. So if you don't want to call me, call the planner. So I really do make an effort to make sure there's contact.
If you go to their website, there's tons of misinformation on that website. For example, it is a yes or no decision at this setting. No negotiation, and councillors do not have the option of requiring pre-con to modify plans. Have you ever not had a plan modified?
Probably never.
Never. So
never.
They've all been modified? Or
there's always
there's always a modification. So what did you do to correct the website and in the minds of the readers of that website to make them believe that this wasn't a complete closed door?
Well, I only actually got onto the website a few days ago. I didn't know about the website. Okay. So we read their website and went, oh boy, there's a few peculiarities with it, which I just assume it will get, you know, everything will be clarified for the public record here tonight. Getting back to your question about why is there 600,
577
signatures people.
Plus 50 people registered
right.
in opposition.
But I guess
do you appreciate the position that puts us in?
Well, I do. Of mm-hmm. course I do. But I have to say that, you know what, if I was planning to build a 20-story building, I guess I could get people from 5 or 6 blocks away that might have an effect. If you're across the street from Breckenridge or even Skirfield, you're not going to see this building. So to have friends of mine on Vanderbilt Drive and Georgetown and wherever these people were asked to sign the petition, they went all over. So I can't stop that, and that's out of my control.
I'm sorry, but I see it as in your control, and I see that as an important piece of the consultation. There's lots of misinformation. I, being part of this panel, cannot go out there and talk about the real facts and the real parts of the process. But you who want to get this plan through, that is your responsibility, as I see it.
Well, I thought it was my responsibility to present my set of plans, to present my story, to present my facts. Mm-hmm. And I've never done that. I mean, I've just went onto that website a few days ago. It's not my website.
Right.
I have no...
But it has influenced 1,000 people.
Well, but I guess,
project.
I mean, but I didn't influence the 1,000 people. I was really focused on the 29.
Okay, so I just want to shift to a couple other things and some of the concerns that are listed on that website. What kind of tenant, who are you marketing to? Who's your target audience for this building? How much are rents going to be if this is a rental project?
Again, as I said before, this is a very high-end development. Granite counters, in-suite laundry, underground parking. So the rents are going to be as highest as they can be. So it's going to be at least $1,200 to $1,400 a month for 2-bedroom units, at least. We're seeing that rents are rising because demand is so high and vacancy is so low. We feel, along with the city administration, that we're going to find a lot of people, a lot of tenants are going to be people from South Winnipeg that are looking at selling their homes and downsizing and, you know, coming into the apartments. There's a growing trend in Winnipeg and a growing need for that. I also don't like to decipher between apartment and condo necessarily, because we're building a condo building. It's a condo quality building. Okay. It's very high end. If we were to sell this as a condo, these units are minimum $300,000 to $350,000 a piece. So these are very high end units. They're almost as expensive as, you know, some of the houses I saw on the assessment website. So.
Okay. So you didn't answer who is your target.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, the target market, again, are people from South Winnipeg, people, Linden Woods, White Ridge, Fort Garry, Charleswood, that have lived there all their lives. They're ready to sell their house and maybe have a condo in Florida or wherever it is and still want to keep roots in Winnipeg. So I've got three friends myself that are in their 50s, still working, have a cottage, or want to go, down south in the winter, but are maintaining that residence. In the area that they kind of grew up, their kids, their friends are close, and that's the target market.
You said that you would be doing criminal record checks. So what if somebody has a criminal record? Well, are you denying them access?
Well, I'll have to refer to Matthew for that.
What do you do?
We have the right to do that.
Okay. Do you have anybody here, or do you have any people who are interested in becoming tenants as soon as your building is built, if it were to be approved?
We haven't even started that process because, you know, this process, and being hopeful that it's successful, will take 6 to 7 months probably to get the zoning through to be able to be in a position to actually start building construction. So it's 2 years away probably from that first renter moving in, so haven't gone there.
In terms of traffic, you have 92 units. I would expect that almost everybody would have a car, at least one.
Yep.
How can there be no traffic impact?
Well, there's no traffic impact on White Ridge because we're not using any of their streets. We're only coming off of that main highway number 3, McGillivray, which has already been widened and accommodated for all the Costco development and whatnot. So we are proposing to do an improvement to the intersection at McGillivray and Dunkley Street because it definitely needs to be brought up to city standards. And that's something that, you know, we need to do as part of this development.
Okay. Well, that's my questions for now, but I don't know.
Councilmember, any questions? I got a couple of questions. I just might as well shoot them up right now. Parking. So there is a you said portion of it is underground parking. Is that right? Is there?
Yeah. There's about 2/3 of the stalls are underground. So there is a total of.
So is there an ability to put more indoor parking so, you know, you're not seeing any cars or anything else? Is that an option with the project?
No, that's not an option. That's not an option. And, I mean, we're providing, well, it's cost prohibitive. You'd have to go another level down. The Stonecrest or the Greystone development there in Linden Woods has no underground parking. Like, a lot of people building new apartment blocks in Winnipeg right now are not offering primarily indoor parking. I mean, it's very expensive to provide. So we're providing, you know, 2/3 of our parking already, a huge proportion underground.
Okay. Number of units, you're talking about 92. Have you thought about just reducing the amount of units and slicing off the, you know, top floor of it?
Well, we did. I mean,
where did you get 92, I guess?
You know, 92 is it's a number that we've got to meet. We are being imposed to do a lot of work on this site. In order to make this viable, we have to pull sewer and water services from a long way away off of of like kind of where Spurfield Boulevard hits at Post Street. So we've got to bring in sewer and water infrastructure all the way down into the building. We have to do a ton of work on the street intersection that, you know, I think the administration can speak to. So there's just a lot of work required, massive amount of site work on this site. The soil conditions here are horrible. The foundations here will be massive. So there's just the economies just, you know, don't work. You've got to hit that
there's
number.
There's a way to restructure your project to make it three floors, but just spread it out a little wider. So you're not as, the height isn't as big of an issue.
No, and what I really feel is that, you know, our four-story building, it's not that high. I mean, there are really big houses next to us here. And the way we've designed the site, you can see how we've done our best. We've pulled the site and the building as far away from existing residents as possible, pushing as close to McGilvery and the hydro lines and the train tracks as possible. So we're doing everything we can to pull it away and to push it up. And by increasing our setbacks and adding that landscaping and that berm, I really truly feel it more than makes up for a concern about the height.
Just final question. You know, the slope of the... I haven't seen the slope of the ceiling, like the roof, essentially. Is it flat? Is it peak? Is it...
It's a kind of a narrow peak. It's a 412 slope, so it's about like this. Yeah. 412, so it's not a big, yeah. You know, big fat peak. It's as narrow as possible to actually make it look good.
So it's 50, you know, in terms of the height. Is that to the middle of the peak or is that to the top of the peak?
Yeah, well, 50, the roof height on a gable roof would be defined as the midpoint on that roof. From grade. So that roof, let's say if it's a 412 pitch, let's say the roof is 8 feet tall, let's say from eave to top, that roof height is taken from the middle.
Okay. Is there an ability to change the pitch of the roof? I mean, you have lots that are flat. Why not look at that? That reduces a bit of the height issue.
You know what? We just, flat roofs really are not good here. Leaking, water ponding, snow. By us having a very kind of shallow slope on the roof is just the long-term performance of that roof is great. It's an asphalt shingle roof. I mean, it's the same roofs that we see next to us. So we really thought that, you know, kind of looks similar.
Okay. Well, unless there's any other questions from the councillors, I don't think there is. We'll have you guys stand down, and you'll of course have an ability to come back up. In fact, we will call you back up. Now's your time to, you know, enter in any new information that's there. When we call you back, that's just an opportunity to respond to any concerns that people that may be opposed to the development have. So if you're entering any new information, now's your time. With that, I'll have you guys stand down. Okay, I've got two other people that are here registered. I'm not sure if you're looking to speak or not. Eric Vogan is one. Welcome. Were you going to speak, Eric? Okay. Eric, could I get you to give your name and address for the record?
My name is Eric Vogan. I work at number one Dr. David Friesen Drive. I'm here tonight to support multifamily development in this area. Our company, Qualico, had been involved with White Ridge for several years, including its completion and the development of the final phases that are now adjacent to this property. This area of Fort White is one of the last of what we used to call the alien lands. It was a real patchwork of ownership, and it was this final area was an area where it was really tough to figure out how we could develop it. We were able to work with the owners to the east in creating a couple of church sites along McGillivray. And with the seven other owners in this area between Post and the west side of Dunkley, we were pursuing concepts such as industrial office, some office commercial maybe, but generally something that would require consolidation of all owners here. The The assembly process is tough. We are one of eight owners here. The applicant is an owner that we had been working with, and there are three residences there, and then four of us other non-resident property owners there. This property that the applicant is working on is just under half of that site. The other half is owned by the remaining seven owners. We have a little bit of land. Our land is on the south side of Sigma Street, the old street that runs parallel to the backyard of the fences on Skirfield. We support multifamily on this location for a number of reasons. It does provide a needed use. In early days when Lynn Jones and I were working, we would field calls from residents wondering when there was going to be some multifamily in the area. Certainly it was considered in the area where we now see Cinema City. However, at that point, the economics weren't feasible for that happening, and we instead ended up with a theater there. I further am impressed that this development is four-storied. It therefore has an elevator. Three-story buildings are, you know, sort of an older style Winnipeg typifying walk-up. This is an elevator building, and as the applicant mentioned, a larger unit and fairly upscale. Further, I think it's very important that this project offers structured parking, you know, with the majority of its parking underneath the building. It really provides, I think, a good, tidy look as opposed to the relatively large parking field of straight walk-up apartments. Non-structured parking areas. I guess this project came about as a result of the frustration that the owners faced in trying to work on other concepts for the area, which would have required cooperation among all the owners. And this development, I think, has offered a catalyst for us and other owners to look at, okay, what can work with the existing street pattern and existing ownership. And it does bring on a very likely and feasible townhouse-type single-family area that would be backing onto the area of the homes that are on Skirfield. This application also provides an opportunity to create a single safe intersection onto and off of McGillivray into this area. And it is our hope that with a good cost-sharing formula figured out by the city that we can get this area developed in its entirety with good services and decent, safe access onto McGillivray. This access would provide access for perhaps 20 or 30 more homes on Sigma, as well as perhaps users that would have frontage on McGillivray that would exit and enter via the side street rather than directly onto McGillivray. Again, I see this project as a benefit in bringing to a close a good and final chapter to White Ridge, with our hoping and pursuing the feasibility of doing townhouse development, single-family development, perhaps on Sigma, according to the wishes of the existing owners. There are a couple of existing owners on Sigma that are very happy to stay there, and we believe that we can work this concept while they happily exist in their current situation, whereas the other situation we were looking for was a consolidation of lands for a completely different use, which would have basically required that they move on or be huddled in a small precinct adjacent, something that would be totally non-compatible. So to that end, I say that we're happy to see this application here. We think that the work the city can bring, or the requirements that the city can bring in terms of improving right-of-way and access into the area, will allow further development to be one that would be a great benefit to the entire neighborhood, not only the people on Sigma, but the people on the other side of the fence, too. That's all I have.
Any questions, Councillor Neumann or Councillor Hausbeck? Great. Thanks, Eric, for your presentation. Appreciate it. I also have Jeff. Is Jeff Pratt? Okay, so you're just in support of the application before us. Is that registered in support? Okay, great. Is there anyone else here to speak in favor of the application? Nope. I'm just going to consult my councillors. Possible to just take a five-minute break here, recess for 5 minutes, and we'll reconvene in about 5 minutes or so. So feel free, smoke when you got them.